Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone.
Nice.
You want to have some fun?
Yeah, we're going to have fun.
Okay, are you ready? Sing along now.
My name is...
Good evening. Hi, it's Marcia Cook. A good story is a good story. And as usual, something else went wrong. I don't know. One of Virginia's songs came on from her show. So I have no. This is electronics at its best. Anyway, this is a good story is a good story. We have a great show. I have Sandra's here. Sandra. Hi, Sandra.
Hi, Marcia.
Hi. She'll be opening the chat room. And is it open? Or?
Yes, it's open.
Okay, it's open. And we will take calls if... We, you know, if we have time for that, and we have a lot of guests on, we have a great show. World Castle Publishing publisher has introduced me to all these people because I am also a World Castle author, and today we have several of them on today, and we are going to have Marilyn here, and we have Zoe,
hi.
Which is two people, two people.
Hi,
Zoe,
I'm Marilyn and Zoe.
Hi, and we have Deborah. Okay, and then we have Charlotte as a co-host. Charlotte, hello, Charlotte.
Hi, everyone.
All right, and,
hello.
And we're all, I guess, Charlotte, did you want to say something first? I'll let you talk first if you want to. You're the co-host.
Oh, wow.
you can talk. It's okay.
I don't even know what to say.
Okay. All right. Anyway, all right. Do you want me to talk? Okay. Anyway, what
right,
we have is a great show here, okay? And Charlotte will be asking questions or whatever she wants to do because this is – the usual good story is a good story that we just go for it. And we have good authors on today. And Kathy Barton was one of my first ones on that came on the show. And she was always worried to be on the show. And now she comes on regularly. And I just want anybody that's listening, we have some new authors on here that have not been on maybe before. So, you know, and that's why we're all going to talk as much as we feel like. And if they don't want to talk, you don't have to. So I just wanted you to know that. Okay. And I think I'm going to let Charlotte, I think I'll let everybody introduce themselves. Why don't you introduce yourself first and say what you do?
Okay. Well, I am Charlotte Blackwell, author of the Embrace series. As of right now, there's three books in the series, Immortal Embrace, Forbidden Embrace, and Mystic Embrace, just released today. It's a young adult paranormal romance about vampires and witches, and it's a lot of fun, and I'm really excited about it.
You have a good time. You're from Canada, so you're
Canada, yeah, and I'm published with World Castle Publishing, along with all the other great authors here today.
Yes, and it's fun. It's fun. We're all, you know, everybody, you know, I've been doing this probably longer than most everybody on this show, probably everybody on this show, and Karen has done something which is really good. She's put herself out there and opened a publishing company, and these are some of the authors, and I'll let them introduce themselves, and then we'll all talk about, you know, different things. Okay, first, all right, we'll have Marilyn. Go ahead.
Hi. Hi. This is Marilyn Pierre-Antoine. I'm the author of the Wandering Star series. It's a young adult paranormal romance about a girl who falls in love with the devil, kind of envisioned as the ultimate forbidden fruit. Originally, I'm from the South, and right now I live in the American Midwest in Iowa.
And you ended up there in the Midwest, right? That's a switch, right? Okay.
Well,
that's what happens.
Yeah.
Hi, Molly.
And you're happy there? and you're happy there?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
In fact, I moved up here to be with my fiancé.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
I know. You're on Facebook. You're out all over the place. And so, okay. All right. Do you want to say anything else? Or do you want to just give your website real quick so in case we forget later to do that?
Oh, it's MarlonPierreAntoine.com. That's MarlonPierre-Antoine.com.
Well, that's easy enough.
That's easy.
All right, then we have Zoe Sweet, which there are two authors. So which one wants to go for Tabitha or Brandy? One of you could start.
Go, Tab.
Okay, I'm Tabitha Jones. I'm one half of Zoe Sweet. And then we have Brandy.
The other half of Zoe Sweet. We live in Texas.
Yes, Waco. We're Waco girls. Blood Magic is the first of a, which was supposed to be a three-part series that has actually turned into a five-part series. So it is, but the first book is Blood Magic, the Draven Witch series, and it's going to be followed by Blood Vengeance, and then we're going to have Blood Ties, then Blood Wrath, and then Blood Fury.
Well, there's a lot of blood in there. There you go.
Yeah.
Yes.
Very popular. Very popular now.
You name it, we've got it. I mean,
yes.
It's just a copulation of all things evil and good.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, so then you have, all right, do you want to just give your website so we could just, you know, so we know that, so then we don't forget. You've got a couple websites. And we have a blog, too, but we'll just do the website right now.
The website is www.itzoesweet.webs.com.
Okay.
And sweet is S-W-E-E-T-E.
I know, I spelled it wrong. I had it right once, and then something happened, and I was putting it again, and I went, uh-oh, I forgot the last E
there.
Yes, Brandy
came up with a very, she is the talent for the name. We
name,
were just
okay.
Sitting on it. It was
I
so hard.
I thought it was catchy. I didn't think that it would be right to say Brandy Cowan and Tabitha Jones, or Tabitha Jones and Brandy Cowan, so just one
name. Well, that solved their problem. See, that's always a problem, right? Who goes first?
And I figured it was catchy, Zoe Sweet.
Yeah.
You know.
But a lot of people don't know that there's two of us. Everybody thinks it's just one person, but there's actually two of us.
Oh, that works out. Okay, and then we have Deborah. Hi, Deborah.
Yeah. Hi.
Okay.
Let's see, what can I tell you? I use the name Scarlet Black because Gone with the Wind is my favorite book, and my son came up with that name, actually. I have The Wisdom of Evil out now with Royal Castle. That's a psychological thriller. That tends to be the area that I use the most, is horror suspense. And that's about a woman that is so afraid of, obsessed with death, that she causes the Grim Reaper to become real. So it's kind of like an emotional roller coaster, and as she thinks the Grim Reaper is real, she starts really losing people in her life. And when her child dies, her husband finally believes her. So it's kind of like a cat and mouse game between the two her and the Grim Reaper, that one. And Sailor Moon is a paranormal historical romance. It starts in Salem, Mass and Witch Trials and comes all the way up to the present. That one I did a lot, both books actually, I did a lot of research on. And the next book is the sequel to Sailor Moon, which will wrap everything up. And that's called The Fallen and the Pure. That's when the angels start getting into helping the characters in the first Sailor Moon. So that's what I'm on now. And then the one that I have with my agent is called The Last Gift. It's a true story about a woman that finds her adoptive mother after 42 years. And that one is nonfiction.
Wow.
That's a good one.
Nonfiction is a good sell. Do you want to give your website?
Nonfiction seems to sell more for some reason.
It does.
The agent jumped on that like no tomorrow. Of course, you have to have people sign off on it, though, you know.
Yeah.
Anybody
that's
going to have to sign on release a liability.
Well, you have to be, because you have to be careful, right, because you just, you know, I mean, who knows? That's
right.
One of the things. That's why I know, that's why, you know, Karen didn't want to take nonfiction yet, you know, so more.
I don't blame her.
Fiction. Yeah, it's tough. It's tough.
This actually worked out because of the fact that it's my own family that this happened in. And it's a true story between three women. So she just fell in love with it and was like, definitely, that'll be picked up. So the only release of liability I had to get was the
because it's your own. Right,
sister.
So that's right.
Yeah.
That works out.
So that was
you
easy enough.
You want to give your website so we don't forget to do that? I wanted to do that.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's scarletblack.webs.com.
Okay, and all of these authors are on worldcastlepublishing.com, and there's a bookstore, and Karen has really, you know, got everything going here. There's some merchandise and there's different things, and you can always find them through me at www.michiganavenuemedia, and because they'll be on quite frequently, different authors, because Karen has taken on a lot of authors, and Karen is busy, but I said I'll talk for Karen because she's reading a lot. It's hard when you're reading all these stories and editing to, you know, let go and do something else. So I told her, don't worry about it. I'll talk about it. And my book that she picked up is Feel the Passion. And I really like, you know, being there, because I changed a few things about one of my stories, and it was Love Changes, and the cover was beautiful, and Karen's doing a really good job a little bit of description, which I never give of mine, but I might. I'm looking at the page here because I have 7 books, so it's like sometimes I forget what I did, you know, because I have children's books. I'm in so many different markets. And it's about a woman who has everything. She finds herself in another man's bed, and she has a lot of problems in her, and she discovers them through some bad things that have happened, but in the end, things work out as they should, but not always perfect. But she does have lust and love, and it's not a erotic romance. It's actually it's a dramatic love story, and it is about, you know, it's just about people's lives, and that's usually how I write. So, and my site is again www.michiganavenuemedia.com. So that's it. I usually don't talk about my book, but we're all here. I think I should. We're all together in this, and it's a very lively group, and everybody tries to help each other, and we're always talking about marketing. So I think, you know, tonight, I think most of us know how hard it is, and we were talking about this a few minutes before, and I think Bennett was supposed to be on, but I don't know if he's coming on. Sometimes he gets really busy and he can't. So we'll talk about reviews maybe first. Does anybody want to talk about book reviews a little and how they feel about them?
Well, I guess I'll go.
Okay.
We had our first review done. We were pretty scared. We're new to this, me and Brandy, as Zoe Sweet. We're
yeah.
babies in the big, bad publishing world. So
definitely.
When we got our first review, and, of course, Karen had said that Lindsay had been kind of harsh on a lot of people. And she kind of said that the book reminded her of, you know, Underworld and, you know, True Blood and things like that. In the beginning,
Twilight.
Twilight, and at least our vampires
yeah.
have fangs and, you know, and they don't sparkle in the sunlight. So, but, the you know, after the first paragraph of her review, she just absolutely loved it, which just kind of really took us away because, you know, That's the author's worst fear is to get a bad review back and somebody say they hate it, because then, you know, that's a big word of mouth thing, you know, because then that's going to go to somebody else and to somebody else.
Okay, but,
and,
you know, but I will
but
say
we're not, babe. I mean, we have written before, just never,
yes.
ever been published.
Yeah.
We've known each other since the fourth grade.
Oh,
and
yes. Yeah.
We've been...
No,
it's
cute. I have my same, you know, my friends from grammar school. I think it's really nice. It's a very good thing.
She's really the only other woman that I can really get along with without wanting to, like, rip their hair out, and I can be with her for days and days.
We know what other kind of stories will come up with.
A couple of times, and that's,
no,
you
know what?
Know,
I just want
one altercation one time, and that was it.
You know, I
yeah,
wanted to talk
no.
to you about one about the book reviews because this is like a big thing. Okay, the book reviews. I don't know if you know who Fran Lewis is. Fran Lewis is a book reviewer, and I do some shows
yeah.
with her. And Sandra does her show. She's with Fran Lewis all the time. And the thing about it is that she's had people on, and they have had best-selling authors on, and they've said the same thing. And Sandra will know because she heard this, that a review is just a person's opinion.
Yeah, right.
One of the things,
yeah.
I know that a lot of you are new writers and writers that are just getting published. And, you know, I always feel bad, which I do, because I read the Facebook, and through the Facebook, I keep seeing a lot of desperation. And it does bother me because I realize that people are getting upset when they don't have to. Because you really have to just be tough about this, because you can't let other people get in your way. And by saying, because not everybody likes everything. If you go to a movie, 10 people in a show. If people are, 5 people may like it, 4 people may hate it. But you can't let it get to you because it's only a reviewer's opinion.
Right.
And, you know,
and what and, they may like, other, you know, what they may right. dislike, others may love. You know, it,
yeah.
it's just.
Now, I mean, like Charlotte. We've talked, I mean, Charlotte, do you have anything to say about that? Because, I mean, you know, we all have opinions on book reviews, but the thing is that my goal has always been to, like, keep people writing. I mean, I was an agent and everything, and I wanted to keep them writing, but most people don't. And that's one of the things I can see happening here is that through the Facebook, I can see some people getting very, very, you know, upset. And that does, I have to admit, does bother me because I don't want people to stop writing because somebody said they didn't like it. It's only a person. So that's why you just have to be tough about this. and not
I think
just
you hit the nail on the head there, Marcia. I mean, everyone is entitled to their own opinion. I mean, how many millions of people out there love Shakespeare? I absolutely hate Shakespeare.
I do.
Right.
And that, I mean, I love him. And that's just my opinion, right? Like,
yeah,
I know he's a great writer, but it's not my thing.
Right. And half the people that have been published in the past, you know, even in the old, you know, the long time ago, they wouldn't be published now. There'd be no way. Publishers wouldn't take them. It was very different.
Especially literary. Literary wouldn't even, you know, there's a lot of literary that I've read that I have loved, but it won't, it's not publishable.
No.
It's just not.
Right.
I mean,
now,
you know, it's like,
sorry.
The book I read that I loved the most lately was The Help, and even that would be being number one, you know, it's been on the bestseller list on and off for 2 years. And
well,
even some people didn't like that. It's a great
story,
but there were some reviews that had like one star because they didn't feel that the Southern dialogue of the white people was correct. Now, to me, that did bother me, but you see, that's the same thing with reviews. You have a book that is incredibly well, doing well like that, but yet there are some reviews that are one star.
Yeah.
So that's just goes to show
that
some people... And to some people, you are never, ever going to please everyone. There's just no way.
You know,
I read Help twice and loved it, but like I say, a couple of people got her on the dialogue of the white folks because it wasn't heavy Southern enough. I didn't really notice it. It didn't bother my enjoyment of the book. So
only,
you know,
a Southern person would probably have said that. You know, it's not, you know, the dialect isn't right or...
You know, we're Southern.
You know,
it is hard to do dialect, and you know, it is hard to do dialect. And sometimes when I'd be reading a script, sometimes when you're reading a script and somebody does it in a dialect, it's very, it's strange because it doesn't always sound like the person is intelligent. And sometimes that bothers me in reading it because then I would say, you know, this really isn't good. Just say it like it is, and then whoever is the actor will have to do the dialect and not the person writing it, only because this way nobody gets the wrong idea of the person. And but with the Help, it got to be such a big deal because the movie was great. And this is
see the movie.
The movie's great. And you know what? Yeah, see, that's what happens, though, in this kind of a field. Sometimes people think they don't pay attention to a book until it becomes a movie sometimes, and then it gets a lot of attention.
Right.
That's
the
way I like the Twilight. I didn't read the book. I saw the movie, and then I started reading the books.
And see, I didn't even, like, pay attention to the Twilight series until it became a movie. I didn't, like, keep up
with that or
anything. I
didn't even know what it was until it became a movie.
Yeah, you know. And then
when I saw it,
I was, like, a little disappointed because I was like, those aren't, like, the kind of vampires that I grew up knowing about
and loving. Yeah, I really like them, so.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
You know, and I mean, I give her credit. She's a very good author, but come on, really? I mean,
I don't like them.
Yeah.
So
it's not
my thing.
We were big, you know, Buffy fans, and just to, like, see sparkling vampires, it was, like,
Buffy
such a disappointment.
Anne Rice. I won't read if it's not Anne Rice. I'm just a total fan of Anne Rice.
There you go.
Well, I think, what's happened to the market is the market has just changed so much, you know, over the years. And the thing is, you know, everybody does have different opinions, but, you know, as writers, you know, it does, you know, when you read something that doesn't say, you know, and they may not even understand what the story you were talking about to begin with, and some of the reviewers may not even read the books. They may look at the back cover, they may do that, and, you know, there's a lot of things going around. So there's a lot. I mean, I didn't rush out to go get a lot of reviews. I really didn't, and I know it is important to have reviews, but then the other problem is you have a lot of people doing reviews now that aren't reviewers. They're just people. And see, that's the thing. I think Amazon is changing things from what I hear. I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of reviews on people, you know, and anybody that reads a book now can do a review. And sometimes that can be damaging for somebody if they think, you know, and this person may not have ever read that genre before. So that's kind of like what you have to look at sometimes is how many they did and who they are. But you don't know that sometimes, you know.
Exactly. You have to, like, see where it says... see all my reviews there.
Yeah.
I click on that and see what else they've reviewed because a lot of times they don't even read the genre that, you know, that you were writing in.
That can happen, and that's the other thing. Marilyn, how do you feel about that?
Well, on the positive side of reviewing, I really enjoy seeing what how different readers interpret the work. You know, even if they didn't care for it, that still teaches me something. I recently got a somewhat critical review I disagree with parts of it, but actually some of the points made were valid. You know, on the other hand, I received a review from Romancing the Book for Wandering Stars that was absolutely glowing. And, you know, it posed the question, how far would you go in the name of love, which a lot of people who have read Wandering Stars are talking about. So personally, I feel like, if you get a bad review, you have to just keep plugging away, because everyone is going to interpret your story in a different way, some positive, some negative. Mostly mixed, though.
I think that's a good way to look at it. And, you know, I mean, because it, like years ago when you used to send to a publisher and they would maybe sometimes say something, they don't say anything. And so, and I feel like for myself, I agree with you, Marilyn, because I sometimes feel like I would like to know and I can handle it if they have something to say. And a lot of times I agree with what they said, and then next time I will try to do something a little different, because, I mean, this is one of the reasons I love the shows, is because all the people that I've met, I never thought I was ever doing shows. And by all the people that I've met and have been on these shows, I have learned something almost every show, because everybody has so many different techniques, you know, and, I mean, talking to people, you know, and learning all these things I think is really helpful. But the other thing is that, I mean, I'm constantly looking to figure out what are the good marketing, because I hear from everybody, everybody's just really getting tired of all this marketing and nobody knows what to do anymore. And one of the things I think, which Virginia Grenier, who is with me in the World of Ink, who we met actually on another radio show, she was helping me, you know, and she was in retirement because she just had a baby, and she does stories for children, and she's got great websites, and she does great book tours, and I did one with my children's books. That's why for me it's really difficult, because I have books in different genres, and that's really tough, because when I, let's say if I go on one site, I go on one site, then I have to go on the other, and it's just really, it's a lot. And then I do screenplays, so it's like I'm all over the place, which isn't necessarily the best thing to do, but it's what happened to me. You know, it's what happened. But if people want book tours, I think that's a good thing, because if it's a book tour that you go into, like, let's say children's books, like she puts people in, like, mommy bloggers and stuff, you have to be in the right place, you know, for romance, for books like Twilight or whatever. You have to be in the right place, otherwise it won't work for you, because the people that are reviewing it are on the book tour aren't reading your style of book. Mm-hmm. So it does have to – go ahead.
Sorry, Marcia. I was just going to say that it might be a good time for me to ask one of my questions.
Yeah,
and
go ahead.
That is, I'm wondering how everyone feels when you get a review that compares you to another book. Now, with this, I'm especially interested in Zoe Sweet's answer, because they write vampire books, I write vampire books, and I get a lot of, it's like Twilight or like Vampire Diaries. So I'm wondering how you guys feel about that.
Well, I was, when Lindsay did our review, and she said there was a lot of, you know, uniqueness to like True Blood and to Underworld and Twilight. You know, we just don't see that. I don't see how, you know, the Twilight even comes close to Blood Magic at all.
I mean, there's a love story in it, but, I mean, it's not, you know, Ella's love story.
No. Renee Draven, our main character, I mean, her biggest thing is we have a thing, it's kind of like soulmates, it's true ones. And her blood actually belongs to two brothers that are identical twins that do the werewolf and the, you know, the vampire theme. And I can see how that kind of plays on Underworld a little bit, but it's the way the style that we wrote it, I mean, it's so much different than that.
Right, and then there's
because they weren't against each other. The pack and the coven, they don't work against each other. They actually work with each other, and, you know, they get along and stuff like that. So I was a little kind of shocked to be compared to those, you know, because I don't see it.
and there are other worlds within the world too. Like, I don't know, how would you explain that, Tab? There's like, you know, the different dimensions of different places.
Yes. Yes.
You know,
there's
outside
like alter-
of the real world, you know.
Yes.
That they go to or they have to go to talk to the, you know,
but
kind
you
of like
they,
the powers to be kind of people. So, I mean,
you know,
yeah, I don't see how it compares. I mean, there could be some similarities, but it's nothing, you know, exact.
Mm-hmm.
So I just kind of blew that off.
Yeah,
kinda
see,
like,
I,
well,
think, I feel that
yeah.
just because it's a vampire story doesn't mean that it's like Twilight.
Right.
Yeah,
you know,
see, everybody's
there's lots of vampire stories
vampire.
That were written way before that.
Right. I mean, nobody's comparing us to Anne Rice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, but, you know, since the Twilight saga was so big, you know, everybody kind of wants to compare everything now to that.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I feel
it is
about
good.
It.
Anyway. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, no,
it,
you're
it
good.
It is good to have a point of reference, but I think at certain points it becomes too much. The vampire mythology has been around for so long, and there's just so much you can do with it other than Twilight, which I love, by the way. I love those books. Each one gets better than the last, but I recognize that there are different ways to tackle vampire mythology.
Right. You can hear it on the computer.
See, but, you know, but I think
yeah,
that,
like, I mean,
you know,
we...
Go ahead. No, I was going to say that, you know, there's, look at, when I, let's say I'll send in a screenplay and they'll say, oh, you know, this is predictable ending. It's a romantic comedy, let's just say. And the romantic comedy is predictable, we all know, but it's how they get there. So, I mean, there's
yeah,
only
the formula.
So many. Yes, and it's just, and when you're watching a movie, you know, in a romantic comedy, you're hoping that they get together. And sometimes even at the end, there's a little somebody else that comes in and it changes it. But that's it. I mean, and so, like, when they say this, a book is like this or a movie is like that, that's just, you know, part of whatever genre that is, you know. I mean, a horror movie, you know what to expect a lot of times, and there's different forms, and it's how the characters do it and how the author did it. That's really... So it's not a fair thing when they just jump on the fact and say, oh, it's like that. Because these characters are different. They don't. It doesn't matter. If you took Twilight and added 10 more different characters, Twilight would come out different.
Exactly.
And so I think
that's
what they're not looking
at. Well, I think that's what's going to be so surprising about the Draven Witch series. We actually came up with something very, very unique for our fifth and final installment that's really just going to, I think, really shock people because they're not going to see it coming. It's not your average tale that, you know, everything ends happily ever after. So I think it's really going to, our readers that have already, and our fans on Facebook that are really into it, I think that they're really just going to be kind of like, oh, my God, I just so did not see that coming. You know, why did they have to do that?
Well,
so,
you know, it's kind
you know,
of, right, it's kind of like it takes time to develop ideas and develop thoughts. You know, my book, Love Changes, which is Feel the Passion, now, it, you know, people said, you want to do a sequel on it? And I was shocked because when I first did it, I went like, oh, I don't know how you want. I wasn't hardly selling it. This was years ago. And then I went, well, I don't know. They loved it and they wanted a sequel. I'm thinking, a sequel? I never really thought about doing it. In a children's book, you do. So then even all these years, like, you know, and not now, I keep thinking about certain things. And then all of a sudden something came to me today and I went like, oh, my God. It was just like a thought that what could be a sequel, which I never, ever thought about. And see, that's the thing, and it may be now, because I mean, even Karen from, you know, World Castle said, you know, she'd like a sequel, you know, it would be. And I said, really? And I had never thought about it, but then all of a sudden something pops in your head, and it's weird how that happens. So I mean, it could be years later, whatever, but it's still going to be, it's a sequel to a book, and it's a drama, so it's going to be a drama. So it's like, it's not predictable, because it's what I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, and it's what the characters, and I never really even thought to bring this character alive that I did. It was, you know, it was actually somebody's mother in it. And I thought to myself, well, what would she be happy with this that the person did? And I thought all of a sudden, and I had never, ever, ever thought of that. So, I mean, it's very strange how that happened. So I think that people saying this, they don't know as much about writing as they may be reviewers, but they're not writers sometimes.
Right.
And in the writer's mind, it's like, you can read 10 stories, and if you really read the book, the characters are different. So I think that that's a lot of people say that, and I don't really think it's a fair thing. because Twilight is Twilight, and it's just, you know, I mean, Harry Potter is Harry Potter, you know, and like a lot of times, which if any of you decide if you want to write movies at a time, they'll say to you they want something new and unique, and which is totally insane, because new and, what is new and unique? It's a romantic comedy, it's a horror, it's a drama, it's a medical show, it's whatever. But it's the same, there's not that many different subjects.
I think what it is it's, we right now, there's no new idea. What they are extensions of old ideas.
Right, yeah, right.
You know,
right.
We create our own world of an old idea.
Yeah, that's right. You're absolutely right. That is what it is. And so I think that because it's that, I think people shouldn't, if they get a review that says it's like something, look, at you. I mean, you're, a lot of you, you're in the genre that's very popular right now.
Right.
And there's a lot of readers, okay? And so I wouldn't worry about that too much, because there's always more readers coming up. There's younger readers coming up. And I don't, and I'm really seeing that I don't think that makes such a big difference anymore. So I think what's happening now is just enjoy what you write. And see, I think what's happening is everybody's questioning everybody about what they do, which is trying to, which is really giving people writer's block, making them upset. And I think what's happening is I think people, like, right now have to really realize, and I'm doing this myself because, honestly, it's so overwhelming, and I said this at a lot of shows, and I still feel that way, because what's happened is I myself am on Facebook, and I'm trying to figure out where it is good to sell the books, but I don't, I think probably, like we talked about before the show, it's kind of going out there and introducing yourself to people and trying to be out there as an author and someone that can speak out about writing a book or about writing a sequel. I think that this is, or series, I think it's a good, you know, I think it's a good idea that we all right now, I mean, some of us start this in our heads, because I really think myself included, I going on Facebook is just, it's insane, because, you know, and then you're reading stuff that other people are saying, and it, they really may not have ever looked at another book like what you've done, and people are going to be depressed. And I really, that's my goal, has never been for people to be depressed. They, I need them, really, I that's what I do. I want them to stay writing. And that's what I hope everybody does. And but I can see what's happening, because I'm reading between the lines here, and I see what's happening out there. And we're all, everybody's trying to sell books, and it's not really how we're going to sell them. It's just not going to happen.
Well, I know for us, a lot of our fans on Facebook have asked, actually, for instead of going online and just buying a paperback, you know, since it's not on shelves yet, they actually want us to send them, like, a signed copy, which was kind of shocking for us because, you know, the internet is such a big thing right now, and so many people do Kindle and Nook, or they order the books offline. You know, so that was a little shock that we had a few requests for that. You know, well, could you sign a copy, and, you know, we'll do like a PayPal thing and pay you for it, and you send it and ship it to us, you know, so.
Yeah, because that's what's going to happen. That is what's going to happen. Like, I think now more, now a lot of people aren't selling it on their own websites, and I don't really sell, mine goes straight to Amazon, my other books, and, you know, or if, you know, it can be bought, you know, because it's going to be changing a lot now because of, you know, the iPad and everything. These are all things that, and certainly Christmas and Hanukkah now will be, a lot of people will be getting these gifts.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the kids market has been, in general, not fabulous on, you know, iPad or Nook, but it's going to change because a lot of the kids are going to be getting, you know, because the Nook went down, you know, it's got color now, and it didn't have color before. And, I mean, this is what's going to happen for everybody, and I think it's going to be good for everybody.
Now they're coming up with Kindle Fire, too. That helps.
Yeah.
That's
going to
be a good seller, too.
And they can use it on their computer.
I don't know if it was Zoe or Zoe Sweet who was saying about getting books signed in the mail thing. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I sold about 40 books that way, to be honest.
Really?
Online, yeah. Yeah. I sold
myself.
Under
what
site do you want? Wait a minute. Let me look at my Excel sheet. 34.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I lied to you. 34.
Okay.
I sold.
Okay, we're not counting. It's okay.
I know, but I'm just, you know, I don't want.
Yeah,
to
know. I know.
But it was really surprising to get that kind of feedback. We just wasn't,
that's,
you know,
great.
Expecting that. We were expecting people to, you know, buy on Amazon or BarnesandNoble.com.
No, me too. But you know how I did it? A virtual email. I emailed, you know, so many people. I just sent a blast,
email to like 500 contacts on Yahoo. And then,
okay, let me ask you a question about that. Okay, wait, hold on. This is a good thing. Okay, now, you did that a virtual email. Okay. Now,
yep.
Did you do it through, like, now I know Vistaprint has it, or did you have your own list?
I have my own list.
I have
my own list.
Contact
list. So you can just blast an email and hit all contacts, and it will go out.
But you can't shoot
and
it all at the
same
time.
The way I got
it. Did they let you do the
whole... Most of our stuff is on Facebook.
No, you pick out, like, 15
our...
at a time. You do,
right,
15,
yeah.
You know what I mean,
I
right? Well, the way I started doing that is because when I have another business, mainly Claw's Gourmet Dog Biscuits, and what I did for that business worked, and I started doing that. I'm like, you send this to 10 people, and they buy one, and then you get one free. And that worked. And that was, I don't know, a couple of years ago. So I decided to do it for the books. And I got 34 books done, and I charged them the price of the book, the postage coming and going, and the handling. So each book cost them exactly $15.82. So I make about $7.
You don't have to say what you make on there.
I'm just explaining this.
Right.
Always
you know,
how to make it easy
just, you
on
know,
you.
Because, you know, I just want to tell people, though, whatever they're thinking that we all make, we don't. So,
but I'm just saying so that they understand how easy it is, because what people were first doing is they were buying it on Amazon, sending it to my house, having me sign it and sending it back. And I'm like, you know, this seems a little bit, you know, they're nice enough to want a signed copy. I didn't want it to be hard for them to get it. So I said,
it's a great idea because it's a great idea to do it that way.
So everything
because,
comes to me, you know, and then goes out to them in just one shot.
So you have your own PayPal then, right?
No, they send me checks.
Really?
I'm still old-fashioned about that. Yep, and I get them, and I don't order them until the money is in my hand, and I order it. And then I mail them. I mail them all at once all the time. All
and
fine.
I had this, like, question, like, I wanted to ask, how do you guys know how many books you're selling?
Nobody really does because you don't really, you can't,
right.
It's very hard to tell, I think. And it's very hard to tell a lot of things. Like, even on Blog Talk where I am now, we can't, it's very hard to even tell how many viewers there are. You know, it is difficult because there's so many different sites. And I think that is an issue, but it's nothing that Karen did or anybody else did. It's just I don't know if that anybody can. I really don't know what's. You know, I think this is a tough subject to talk about only because we don't know, and I think that's really true. I think that, and certainly some of us that because people can, you know, that now they can even take off a PDF of somebody else's and make their own books. So it's a very strange time right now, and there's so much going on out there that things happen. But I think the way you're doing it is great. I mean, that's like going back to old school and doing it that way, and that's been successful for you. That's
I just do it the old school way because honestly, it worked.
Yeah, not like
you know,
nobody.
For my other business, and I know exactly how many books came in because they were in my hand. That's the only reason I know about the number.
Yeah,
I mean, Amazon, you don't know. You know, you don't really know what sites are selling. You know, there's no way to really pin
well,
that down.
I asked Karen when I talked to her the other night, and she said I would have to go from site to site and actually look it up to find out. And, you know, and that, I imagine that gets a little tricky after a while doing that for every author that's like, well, how many did I sell? How many did I sell? So
I don't think I don't think you can do it. Right. See, that's the thing. I don't think
you can with Amazon.
Yeah.
You can with some, but not with others. Some vendors.
Yeah, with Amazon,
There's Books a Million. They're everywhere. I mean, I'm
right.
going to start to go out like I did. I'm going to have book signings. I'm going to do what I did before. And, you know, I just think that that's probably the right thing to do. And because I know I'm not going to stop writing, but I do know that I honestly feel that this is way too much out there. It's just not good for, I don't think it's good for anybody to keep doing this. And certainly it sounds interesting how you did it. I mean, Marilyn, you said, though, that you went out a lot.
Talk
to people. You said you went out and talked to people. You were
bookstores. Something that I've actually found to be successful is I have these little flyers. They're basically like quarter sheets. They simply have the preface of Wandering Stars, which is very short, and I think it's rather engaging. You know, it immediately tells you what kind of story this is. And it has an image of the cover, and I go out and I use these as a tool to talk to people. You know, I have a certain idea of what my target audience is,
You know, there's a lot of overlap between people who enjoy the Twilight books, that sort of thing, who would also like Wandering Stars. And people do have an impression that talking to an author is something special. And we can use that to our advantage. Little do they know that I'm not special at all. But
I know. See, that's what I know. I keep saying to myself, I'm an author. You have to keep saying to yourself, I'm an author. Because, like, sometimes when people ask me something, I'll go, well, like, oh, okay, I have a different business. And then I, you know, have a blog talk show. And then it's hard for me to say I am an author. I don't know why. It's getting better because I'm really trying to do that. It's really hard to do that, I think. You know, to walk, you know, because I feel like so many people think I'm trying to sell them something automatically. But you are right, because people do. When I've told people that have no idea, they go, do you write? I go, yeah, I do write for years. They go, and they know me. And they go, like, are you kidding? And I go, no, I just never say anything. So now I'm starting to give cards out. I think Kathy Barton, when she was saying she just goes to the beauty shop. Wherever she goes, she gives a card. That's a good thing to do.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, I'm getting
definitely.
Better, but not good enough. I got to be truthful. Not good enough.
I always feel funny going out between book signings.
Because book signings are a great, great way. I mean,
well, see, we're trying to get on Channel 10 News in our local news station.
That would be good.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they're pretty good about, you know, any kind
of. And our Barnes and Nobles here is really great about, like, you know, hometown authors and stuff like that, and putting out a big blowout thing for them and, you know, representing them. I did hair for 10 years, and I actually did an author's hair. And I know when she wrote her first book, Barnes & Noble did a huge thing for her because she was a local author, you know, and they wanted to represent her to the fullest and stand behind her. So,
and Hastings is about the same way.
Yes. I mean, and we have a Books a Million here. So, I mean, they're all pretty, you know, they stand behind their hometown authors and support them and kind of, you know, promote them and stuff like that. But
I think the flyer idea
is a really good idea, you know, just coming up to people face to face and giving them a flyer.
You have to just keep doing these things.
She holds festivals that you can buy a spot for. And so we're thinking about the Christmas festival, going out there and
that's a good idea.
Doing a book signing and selling books at the festival.
Oh, I think that's a magnificent idea. And you know, truly what we have to remember is that, you know, as authors, despite all the difficulties, you know, we craft stories, and our goal is to have people get lost in them and become one with them almost, you know, while they're reading it. And that's what I love about World Castle Publishing, especially the paranormal titles. You know, Blood and Magic Betrayed, the Embrace series, you know, all of these titles, you read them, especially I'm reading Crossroads by Mary King right now, and all of these books, you know, you read them and the world goes away. You're lost in them, and that's a magical thing.
I definitely
thing.
Think, right, that is true. And certainly now people need that, definitely. They need to feel, like, happy, you know.
When I was young,
world.
To read a book was like taking a trip.
Oh,
if
exactly.
If that makes any sense. It's like.
No, it does make, absolutely. Yeah, it does.
I mean, you want to be intrigued when you're in there reading. You want the author to. You know, you want to be able to feel what the character's feeling and really get involved. So, you know, that was a big thing for us when we were writing.
Right.
We wanted our other world to be, like, really descriptive. And, you know, some of the best descriptive writing that we did was at 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning, and we were so tired. We had to finish. We wanted to finish that chapter and get it over and done with, but you know, some of our best descriptive work came then, you know.
Yeah.
So I think that's very important.
No, I agree. It is. And, you know, I think that's, you know, a good thing to come away from this show with is that probably just to do it maybe like you really want to do it. Can't do some of the newer methods don't really work. And we're all trying new things. I mean, everybody, no matter who the writer is I've had on there, everybody's marketing is the worst. So, I mean, and last week we were talking about the passion of writing, which turns out to be what we're talking about. No, we all like to write and we want people to like what we write. So that's the thing. So if we are into what we write, then it'll be good material for people to read. That is what we do, and that's what we want to do. you know, and that's the fun of it is, you know, and that's what some of this marketing has taken out of it for a lot of people. And
exactly.
And that's, you know, I feel like,
well, I
you know,
we've got a lot of records, you know, some a lot of new fans and a lot of people that have said that they bought the book. The model guy that we use for, like, a character representation, we found some of his pictures on Google. And he actually contacted us on Facebook and was very thrilled that we were actually using him for one of our characters so, you know, our readers could get, like, a look at what our characters looked like. And he has actually, like, spread the word for us and sent fans our way. And, you know, and he's an underwear model from Australia. Who would have ever thought?
Hey, take it where you can get it. That's it, you know. Charlotte, do you have any other questions? Charlotte wanted to hear. I don't
want
to. Charlotte,
if you're ever in New York, call me. We'll go for cocktails.
But
yeah,
isn't it nice?
So it's kind of like, yeah, let me just jump on my invisible jet and I'll be right
there. Yeah, but I know. It is nice,
so.
Though, to have that going on. Charlotte, I know you do have questions, because you might have questions. I just, you know, you want to talk? You have another question?
Well, I'm just really interested in knowing other people's motivations behind their writing.
Yeah,
like,
right.
I know that Debbie does a lot of research, and her first book, Salem Moon, now, if I remember correctly, you lived in Salem or around the Salem area, didn't you, Debbie?
Yeah, I lived one town over from Salem.
Was that an inspiration for you behind your book and wanting to do more research on...
Yeah, what happened basically is I didn't even write that one first. I wrote The Wisdom of Evil first, and I wrote that not due to fun at all. I wrote it because I had my nephew murdered and my other nephew died of a heroin overdose within a year of each other, and then my mother died.
Wow.
Right? It was awful, and I just couldn't get over it. So I sat down and This Wisdom of Evil thing came to me about the Grim Reaper. Really, I felt like that. I was like, wow, the Grim Reaper's actually after me. And I sat down and wrote the Wisdom of Evil. It took me like 2 years for that one. But it was cathartic because I got, you know, it was therapeutic. And then Salem Moon came to me, believe it or not. I was just, I don't know, someone was saying something about they went to Salem over the weekend. Well, I live in Florida right now while my husband's doing his contract here. And I was like, oh, my God, I so miss the Northeast and Salem. And we were talking about Salem. And I'm like, and then the idea just got into my head. And I love fallen angels. Love them. I love all angels. So I'm like, well, what if I did a story that was time travel and, you know, went back to 1692 and then they come back to the future with Salem, and I know Salem so well, and made it into a romance like Romeo and Juliet. They were destined to be together for 300 years apart, born, and so forth. And it just kind of wrote itself, to be honest, and I had a freaking blast doing that book. I did. I mean, after going through tears writing The Wisdom of Evil. I mean, I just literally was crying writing the book. It was so difficult, but it was necessary for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then to go to Salem Moon, I just outlined it and did, like, I do a synopsis first for everything, and then I do the research on what I need. And then I just blasted it out in 4 months, which for me is really fast. And I just loved every minute of
anyone.
It. But it was just fun, and Salem is just an amazing place to be. If you've ever gone, you get this feeling as soon as you get into the town of how unique it is. And a lot of that is in both books. Both books have the aura and the feel, and I try to really get really authentic. And from the reviews I'm getting on it, people are saying, you've put us in Salem. We really feel We feel like we're with Gabriel when he gets accused of witchcraft, and I use the only one method that wasn't hanging at the time,
drowning.
A form of torture that, you know, no, the pen before where they put you under rocks. There was only one person that
they drop you in the river or something, and if you come back up,
no.
No,
they put rocks on top of you in a door, and
that
was only one person that happened to. So I use that for his death, and Lucian, the bad angel, comes to save him, but he wants his soul. And that's how he meets the girl in the present-day Salem. But, you know, I mean, that book was a blast. The Fallen and the Pure is coming right along. Once in a while, like you said, I get discouraged with the marketing. But my reviews, knock on wood, have been really good. I can't say anything bad about them. There was a few about the sex parts in it. But I was like, doubting myself, and I'm like, you know what, I'm not going to go by what reviewers say. I'm going to go by what my gut tells me to write.
Right.
And that's
a
what
good
we
thing.
Have to all do.
Right,
you know?
Right, definitely.
I mean, that's hard.
You know what, it's true, though. You know, like years ago, what I used to do is I used to go, you know, to the library, and I used to do research. You know, I've done murder mysteries. I've done all that, and that is one thing that I miss. Even in my first story that was my drama, Love Changes, I used to go and sit in the library and just, I would just get so much inspiration just by sitting there, and it would be, you know, and now I don't do that anymore. Now I go to Starbucks or whatever, but when I'm in my house or in my office, sometimes, you know, you're tempted to do other things, and lately I just want to take a pad of paper and go because I don't want to do emails. I don't want to do anything. And you know,
I hear you. I got little yellow pads of legal paper because I'm a legal assistant part-time.
Yeah.
I use my little legal pads, and, you know, as far as research goes, research motivates me to write more.
Yeah,
I don't
right.
know why, but when
no,
I
it does,
do
because
the research,
I didn't have that before. Right, I did not ever do that before, like with the emails, and we didn't do
and,
that.
You know, I got like two or three reviews where they said the sex scene with the evil angel was a little over the top, but everybody else was like, oh, my God, we love it. My agent loved it because of the erotic part of it. And I've never written ever an erotic scene in my whole life, ever.
That was a big
thing.
You know, we hell? Didn't want our love scene to be smutty. Brandy was like, I don't care what we do, but it's not going to be smutty. I don't want it to say smut. So we tried to do something really tasteful. And, you know, but when you're writing about, you know, vampires and werewolves, it's kind of hard not to be, you know, savage and, you know, brutal and, you know, things like that. But we tried as best as we could to be, you know, tasteful with it and, you know, not make it into this, you know, smutty,
right,
erotic story.
I was like,
you know,
I'm not trying to write a Harlequin novel, you know.
Right. Well, you know what, you know, because I've had a lot of, like, the romance writers on, and since I've had the romance writer on, that's why I love to hear all this, because the truth of the matter is, you know, people say erotic or their sex scenes, but, you know, in any mainstream thriller or anything you see in the movies, I mean, there are sex scenes. I mean, and you know,
yeah.
To classify,
I think it depends on what genre, too. If you write YA, I mean, you're not going to get into.
No, right, exactly. But the other one,
you know, you shouldn't.
I write
really.
Young adult.
And yeah, I know. That's
why one of the
you.
Big things is
yeah.
do you
yeah.
put sex in young adult? Well, I mean, I do
so.
Have it in my books, but it's more leading up and then implied. I mean,
right.
I obviously...
Well, you could leave
out.
A lot to the imagination with... In YA, you know, you leave a lot to the imagination, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
But in adult, you know, I write adult, so...
They
want to
read it.
You know, yeah, they want it. I mean, you know, and it depends on the character. If the character calls for some kind of, you know, sexual encounter that's a little bit rough, like Lucian, who's the evil angel in Sailor Moon, I'm going to write based on the character and what he would do or she would do or not do. You
right,
know what I mean?
Right.
If I wrote YA, I would probably put, you know, leave it to the imagination. I'm actually working on a YA, but it's a ghost story, but it's, I'm not going to put sex in this one. No.
See, I put sex in mine because I feel that teens are having sex. So
the first
it's
kid,
realistic
maybe
to have it
a couple
in the story.
Old, you know.
Marilyn?
Yeah, I mean...
Let's get a guy's. Okay, Marilyn, what do you think?
Let's
about
get a guy's opinion.
Yeah, right.
Well, I mean, you know, the truth of the matter is that, you know, teen sex is something that happens.
Yeah.
I mean, however, you know, I write YA romance, of course, and it's there is a sex scene in Wandering Stars, but what I do is, you know, I want to be positive. You know, the theme of this book is, you know, who are our characters? Who are Alice and Lucifer? What are Alice and Lucifer heading towards, salvation or damnation? And, you know, sometimes it's hard to tell the difference in real life and in the story. You know, so yes, there is a sex scene in Wandering Stars, but it happens at a point to where our characters are in a committed relationship. You know, it's certainly nothing smutty. And, yeah, it basically does lead up. There is some sensual detail in there, nothing erotic. But, yeah, primarily I like to focus on the romantic aspect of it, on the aspect
yeah.
to people coming together and being closer to one another.
Right, because it's just a natural thing. And as the movie, as the book goes on, you see what the characters, you know, the characters, as we all know, the characters, you know, they're the ones that make the decisions, you know, a lot of times when we're writing.
Sometimes the characters just take over.
Yeah, They do.
You know?
I think
they
take do.
Over. I mean, you know, the YA, though, I think that Marlon has what I wanted. I think he made his point correctly.
Yeah, I think that's a good point because
that,
I think...
Yeah,
that,
I think
right.
he made a great point because if it's a YA, you know, you can. That's the way I think it should go, like the way he
yeah.
said.
But right,
if it's adult,
I
you're going to want a little more. I mean, it's just the way it is with adults.
Well, that's right. You know,
because
you're trying to be realistic and you're trying to tell
yeah,
it,
realistically,
you know.
Adults, you know. I mean, teens have sex, but you know what? In YA, I don't think it's a good message to send myself. I think it's
well,
nicer.
Yeah, because
like,
it all depends
the
what the writer wants to do. And it depends
right,
about what happens. Yeah, and I think
they take over sometimes.
Well, they do.
They do
I think they do. I think they do. You know, and I even, you know, even in kids' books, when you write a kids' book, you know, the characters, you hope that some of their personality comes out, you know, it comes out while, you know, you're writing it because that's what gets us through every project that we do, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is to just sit down and write the project, and that's what the thing is. Because once I'm sitting down and I'm doing it, it just comes. And then, but you have to, your mind has to be open, and that's one of the things about marketing. That's why I talk about it all the time on the show because I know what's happening out there, and I know how everybody feels about this. It's tough, you know, and writing is so much, we love it, but it's just marketing.
Well, we've
just
been
want...
so busy, you know, promoting the first book that we haven't really had time to sit down and work on the second one. We wrote the first one in 2 months. I mean, it
yeah.
just flowed and came so
well, congratulations.
To us.
Yeah, we write very well together.
Yeah, really?
Yes,
that's
yes.
great.
No, that's good, right, because I actually, you know, because with my screenplays, I sometimes write the screenplay, and then Craig Clyde, who does, he's a screenwriter, a producer, director, and he takes it sometimes and revises it, but he doesn't lose my voice a lot of times in it. And that's what has to happen when you're writing with someone, you know, or somebody is coming in and, you know, taking your work and trying to put it in a, you know, in a certain spot. With screenplays, it's different than books, but... You know, I had started out writing romance books and teen books, but then it was so hard to get in that market. You know, because at that time, I even, you know, there was a lot of times even now they still do, they have other authors writing for a series that it's not who you think it is. It's just different people writing. And that was never anything I wanted to do. I like my own work, you know, and I like to write. And I think that, you know, I think sometimes a series is written by several people, and you don't really know, but and that's good if you don't know. But if you could see the difference, like, because if you two are working good together, that's great. And because it's not that easy either to keep.
No,
to
you
the
can tell that
tone.
It was written by two different people.
Yeah.
Well,
right.
Brandy does most of like the dialogue because I suck at dialogue. I can't do dialogue to save my life. So she
yeah.
does most
nice
of the dialogue
to do that.
And stuff like that. And I do a lot of the descriptive and just
right.
you know scene breaks and stuff like that. So
and add comedy.
I mean. Yeah, I mean, so
right.
she and I work very well together when it comes to that. We make a pretty good team, you know, and it flows, and everybody that's read it so far, I mean, they can't seem to tell the difference who's writing
that's good.
What.
That's
so.
Really important. Yeah, that's very good. That is good. You know, I myself started screenwriting because I wasn't as descriptive as I thought I should be. And I, you know, my dialogue was fine, and dialogue still is fine. It's just the description for me was always harder, you know, and for some people it's easier, you know, than others on certain things. And, you know, the good thing is to recognize what you're good at and what you're not and then just move on, you know, and that's really something that's important to figure out what you do good at. You know, and some people do wonderful description and they do wonderful dialogue together, and that's great, and that makes a good book, which is what we talk about. It's a good book.
See,
and it's hard to know.
Spot. Like, she'll call me if she's in the middle of something. She'll put me on the spot.
Oh, yes, yes, I'm good at doing that to her. I'm like, I'm right in the middle. I had a really, like, writing spree, and it hit me. So I need you to come up with something clever and witty for, it's a guy named Tristan. He's our demon hunter in our book, and he's British, and he's kind of our comic relief, and he's Brandy's baby.
Yes.
So when I need a good what would Tristan say kind of moment, I call her up. I'm like, okay, you're going to really hate me for this, and I'm putting you on
right.
the spot. I need a sentence, you know, so... She's really good at that.
Well, yeah, but that's what happens. It just does come to you, you know. And I sometimes, you know, like I'm doing something completely different, then all of a sudden I think of something that's going to be in one of the books or one of my scripts or something I need to know later, and that's really what happens. And people think it just comes all at once. It doesn't always come out. You just sort of sit there and it just comes. Sometimes you have to think about it and really get to know your characters better And when you really know them, then you go like, oh, they wouldn't do this or they wouldn't do that.
Yeah,
and then,
exactly.
But then you get, but then you go to the computer.
Just had
though,
that happen, actually.
Yes, and when you go to the computer, though, sometimes doesn't it come out differently sometimes? For me, it does.
Well, what happened was I had a whole scene in the second, The Fallen and the Pure, and I'm like, oh, my God, there's no way that Lily would do that.
Yeah.
And I had to go back, and I'm like, it's totally against her character to do something that I had written her in the book. And I went back, and that's what I did all this week, was change all of them scenes. Because it just doesn't match her character. And it just came to me in the shower, so...
I think that this is, that's the thing. That's what it, honestly, I really understand that. And I think we all do. And I think this has been a really good discussion. It's 9 o'clock already, so I want everybody to have, you know, a few seconds to be able to say exactly what, you know, they want anybody to know or where they're going to be and their website. So, Deborah, you want to go first and what, you know, just so people get it, because sometimes they don't listen to the whole show. And we have more people listen on the archive. They come in later, and it's on my website all the time. And you can put your links out wherever you can put the link to the show that I gave you.
Okay.
That can go anywhere.
I got it.
It can go on your site or anywhere, because people, you know, we're in competition like a lot with Dancing with the Stars when that's the tough one. It's
now,
a very tough
those
one.
Links,
so.
On those links, are you talking about where it says archives there?
If you want me to send, I gave you the link, but if you send it, your email to me, or if you go right on the show on the top, I can send it to you. Do you have an email? Just email me.
Oh, all right.
Not by Facebook. I could do it on Facebook. If you email me, it's just easier. mba3308@aol.com, and I'll give you the link. You can put it on your site.
What is it? I'm sorry.
MBA, like Marcus Brown, mba3308@aol.com. Okay, and
okay,
then
I'll
you can put it on your site. And, okay, do you want to give your website one more time?
I'm sorry?
Your website, just so they...
Oh,
so people,
this is scarletblack.webs.com.
Okay, all right. Zoe, one of you? Zoe's like double personality here. Okay.
It's www.zoesweet.webs.com. And then, of course, we don't really do a lot with the website. It's more on Facebook.
Yeah.
And it's just facebook.com/ZoeSweet. And then we have our blog, which is www.bloodmagicbook1.blogspot.com.
Okay. Okay. Marilyn?
Yeah, it's marilynpierre-antoine.com. And, of course, I'm also on Facebook. That's facebook.com/author.mpierreantoine.
Charlotte?
Oh, I can be found at charlotteblackwell.blogspot.com. And on there's also links to my Facebook and my Twitter account.
And, you know, we'll be having also other shows, you know, like this. And, you know, anybody that's on tonight, you can always come on, you know, at another night when we have the World Castle, because I think it's a good way to know about what World Castle publisher. I mean, she does a lot of different books, and we are all different. So, I mean, as people can see, we're all different writers and different styles. So that's a good thing, you know, because there's a lot of people that listen, and they may not know what style World Castle is. And she does do a lot of different things. You know, and she has a couple kids' books, too, but mostly adult. You know, they're not adult. We're trying to think of the word adult. I was talking to a few people today, and we were talking about, so it's kind of like you have to say mainstream now, because I don't know how else would we consider adult books. You can't really say adult sometimes, because then they might think it's just an adult rated or something like that. I know, that's the problem now.
I've had to use the mainstream, and my agent also.
Yeah, is that what you're doing now? Yeah, mainstream.
Genre.
Yeah.
She said to use the word cross genre for Sailor Moon because it has YA age characters because they're 18.
Yeah. But mainstream,
however,
adult
content. So she said it's cross genre is the
cross
thing.
Genre.
I don't know.
Okay. Oh, that's no. Yeah, because I was talking to you know, people like Virginia Grenier. We were talking about this today, you know, and. Think about getting book tours, though, because I think that's a good thing to do. And the radio shows and the blogs we're all doing. And I'm going to try to figure out exactly why the comments aren't coming in. And Karen was, too. I don't know. We don't know. No, and because
I don't know either.
But,
I mean, they posted them everywhere. But,
if you want, you know, I'll say this over the air. If you want, you can send me you know, any of your reviews or whatever, and I'll put them on my Michigan Avenue reviews, okay, because I think that's probably the best thing for me to do to get it out there rather than just put comments, because people are, I mean, that's one of the better things, the comments, but if that's not working, and it's not only Karen's, it's several others that people are trying, and I have an account to do it, and but I've heard from other people, so it's not just us, that it's not working right. I think what's happening now is there's so much out there, it's very difficult. The same thing with Facebook. You have to resubscribe to a lot of people now because some people don't.
Yeah,
I know.
Technical overload now.
Yeah, right. You
know,
and I think
so
what's happening now is I got to go over. I know because I'm not. People are not seeing things that I wanted to see. You know, they're looking for my shows and things, and I think I have to go in and redo some of the, you know, subscribe to them because that's what I heard from on Friday's show. I had a show on Friday and we were talking about that because everybody is not getting everybody's messages now, which is not a good thing.
No, I know. That happened to me. I didn't get your message for a week.
Really?
I didn't.
Yeah, I know. I got to. Really?
I didn't know that Facebook wasn't sending it to your email anymore for a while, and then I fixed it anyway.
But that's what's happening, and that's not a good thing. You know, I mean, we have to figure out other ways because I think they're changing things as we don't know it. That's the thing. And,
Facebook,
you know, you think people are, right, I know, and, you know, and I think people relied on Facebook, but I'm on other things, Dig and Twitter. Twitter's really good, though. I mean, I have to really concentrate on doing all of this, but it's just, like I said, and we all said, it's a lot of time. But you're all welcome to come on other shows, and we will be having the World Castle shows. And, Sandra, I hope you feel better.
Thank you.
And next week we will have a romance writer. We have Bethany Hale. And she was from the Red River.
I like Bethany Hale.
Oh, you know her? Yeah, well,
yeah.
Listen in.
Oh,
yeah,
I know,
great.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's good. Yeah, she's really good. She's done a lot of
her.
Books. She's done a lot of books. I've had several of the
Colorado,
romance.
I think.
Yeah, really? Oh, yeah. So come and listen. It's next Tuesday night, Bethany Hale. And
next Tuesday. Oh, I love her.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Next Tuesday at this time.
You could always go into, you know, World Castle, World of Ink Network, or on my website. You can go on my website. All the shows are listed there. And you might want to look at some of the other shows because, you know, that's where I get a lot of information is from all these shows. You know, I thought I knew, you know, pretty much, but every week I learn something else. And now, you know, I'm going to try, your virtual mail. See, because that's the thing. I started to do that, then I thought, oh, everybody's going to start hating me because I'm going to send them all emails, but that's
not a
good
thing. Well, you know what the thing is? I think the problem is a lot of people are doing way too much, kind of, because it's starting to look like spam a little bit. Because
I know that.
You continuously bombard people day in, day in, and day out. They're going to get sick of it. So
it is a problem, I know, but, you know, but like I think I'll do it that way. I mean, you've got, and I think going back to that, it's not a bad way. I can see how
I mean, the virtual email worked only because what I did is I sent it to my first top best friend.
Yeah.
And then they forwarded it on to other people and so forth and so on, and it worked.
That's what you did. You forwarded it to like 10 people, and you asked them to forward it to other people.
And I asked them, yeah. I mean, for one program, I did that, and then I gave them a free book,
signed book
for doing it.
Yeah, all right. That's
And then the other way is you can, if you don't want to do that and spend any money, you can just do the other way that I did, was just do a virtual email 15 by 15. You just check off 15 of your contacts, write your letter. And send it, and then do the next 15, and the next 15.
Yep.
You know, and
I started to do it, and then I went like, oh, I know, everybody's going to start hating me. I'm not going to do this.
I just did it once, though. I only did it once, and that's
right.
It. I'm not going to spam them because then they'll be mad. I don't want them to be mad.
Well, that's why I'm trying to figure out. That's why I'm trying to figure out what's good for people, because I'm doing marketing for people now because I know people cannot afford a lot of it, so I'm trying to find the things that they can do, and you know, that's why I try everything first. I really do. I like to try things, and if it doesn't work, because I don't want anybody doing something that, you know, doesn't work. That's why even when I was self-publishing, I tried different publishers, and I like Fidelity, and that's why, because I'm fussy. So I don't want anybody to use anything and get ripped off. So, you know, I don't like to refer anything. That's why I have to check everything out. So this was, but I'm bad at it for myself, because then I go, oh, I don't know, I don't drive people crazy. But I think you're right. I have to continue it. I stopped in the middle.
Yeah, it really works. And the other thing that really works is Twitter and retweeting.
Yeah.
You know, like you put a Twitter on there. And what I do is I'll do a Twitter, And then I'll email my agent and say, I just did a Twitter. Could you retweet it? Now, she has 3,000 followers.
Yeah.
You know? But she'll retweet it. I mean, it's not, I'm not getting great amounts of sales, but I'm getting some.
Right. Well, yeah, I'm going to be going out. That's what I'm going to do because that's when I do the best, you know, because I don't want to saturate my, you know, I just think it is a little saturated. But we can talk about that probably for like days and days. And Charlotte, I'm so glad you decided to be the co-host. And I see what you're doing there. I can actually call Charlotte because I didn't know it was international and I had a $95 phone bill. So, but now I worked where it's international.
Oh, it doesn't cost you money to call Charlotte, does it?
Well, now it's like it's a whole reduced rate. I had no idea that Canada was that it was an international call on certain phones. And so, yeah, it is. So, believe me, it is. So.
Well, I have the unlimited calling from Canada and the States. So if anyone needs to talk to me, you guys can just inbox me and I can call you and it won't cost me anything
extra.
Well,
you could call me. But I worked it out.
That's good to
know. I didn't know that before. What can I say?
Yeah, when you tell me that,
I say you learn
so
something
bad.
when you get a $95 extra charge. I think you kind of figure out.
Oh my God!
I know it wasn't a good thing. I know, but
oh
what
my
can
God!
I say? But
the
I guess
heart
you learned
attack
something.
Of the mail.
I know. Wasn't
we were talking like every other day for a while there.
I know. All right, then you can call me. All right, but thank you all. And Sandra, feel better, and thank you. And everybody's welcome on again. And this is from the World Castle Publishing, and we hope all to do really well. Marilyn, good night.
Yes,
good night, girls.
Good night.
It was brave of you, Marilyn, to come out with all of us girls.
She's
loving it.
I write romance. I'm a guy.
Okay.
And
loving it.
Get
the other point of view.
We'd like to hear that. Okay. All right. Thank you all. Good night.
Thank you.
Good night now. Bye-bye. Thank you, Marsha. Bye bye.
Bye bye. Thanks.
Hang on. Let me see if it hangs up.
Okay.